Welcome back one more time, Screenwriting in Linux podcast, also known as Swillcast. Back one more time. This week we're talking about outlining. Probably jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but again, this is what we're talking about. The reason I say I think I'm jumping ahead a little bit is around Christmas time last year, I was working on a handbook. I want to say it's a book, but really it's only like 60 or 70 pages at most, and it's really more of a handbook and not even so much a good one. It's one that's in desperate need of a good editor. And functionally, what it was a collection of my thoughts on getting that first draft done, hanging out on screenwriting forums and just writing forums in general. You tend to come across a lot of people who have the same problems over and over. Well, how did you get to this point? I'm halfway through my script and I'm struggling. Or yeah, I've got the beginning, I've got the end, and I have no idea what to do in between, or I've got shit in between. It just sucks. So you see these questions and these problems over and over and over again. And I found I was repeating the same advice over and over and over again. And over time, since I collect things obsessively, I had all these notes together and pretty much ready to go. All I had to do was fill in a couple of gaps here and there. So I took all that information, I put it together, put it into a book, again, more of a handbook than a book, and one that's in desperate need of editing, and called it the first draft done. I'll link that in the show notes, so for those of you that are ambitious and actually want to sit down and read 60 or 70 pages of Dreck rather than listen to me talk it out over the next couple of weeks, I won't go through the whole book, but I will go through certain chapters, and I won't be reading them because that would just be fucking lazy and miss the point. But I will be going through and I'll be talking about the exact same things, and I will be culling my notes from that. So a little bit of cribbing there and whatever I happen to riff on at the moment. So I'm talking about outlining this week. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because there's shit that happens before that and shit that I think is important. But I've been seeing a lot of issues recently that are related directly to outlining and a lack of outlining. I tend to do a lot of work collecting information before I get to the outline, but the outline is pretty huge for me. And like I said, I've been seeing these issues, so it's really at the front of my brain. Now, there are some prerequisites to this, just because these are things that you need to outline appropriately. As far as I'm concerned, you can go off the cuff and you can start jotting things down piece by piece, but really you're just kind of taking a long way to get to where you're going anyways. But I'll get back to that. You should always have some information going into outlining, as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason not to. I tend to have a lot of fragmented notes that have been organized. I organize them out into kind of theme ideas, dialogue notes, scenes, or segments. And there's a difference between those that I'll explain in a moment. Character ideas, just random general thoughts on what I'm trying to do. Now, I said there's a difference between a scene and a segment, and there very much is. To me, a scene is a single self-contained item in the script. Even if the content is continuous, so if you've got an argument, starts indoors, goes outdoors, I call those separate scenes. That's me personally, I call those separate scenes. Every new slug line for me is a scene. Segments are different, and some people would call what I call segments scenes, and I disagree with them. Segments are anything continuous that's bound together by something. Now, the reason I don't think that's a scene is because if I have three different scenes and they're bound by a similar thread, they could have completely different characters, completely different times, completely different things going on. But if they're bound by a theme, if there's something that unites them for me in my head in terms of how the script is, as long as they're not broken apart across the script and they are continuous, I consider that a segment. Same as I would consider that argument that goes from inside the house to outside the house to possibly in the car and down the street. I would consider that a segment, not necessarily a scene. To me, a scene is just from slug line to the end of that scene. New slug line creates a new scene. But that's, you're starting to get into semantics about, you know, what the anatomy of a scene is and what the anatomy of a segment is. And as long as I can speak to you and you can understand as if we were conversing in a common vernacular, that's really all that matters. The labels that we put on shit are not important. It's how we use those labels and how we interact to exchange information. Moving on. The whole point of this is to get all those little pieces and notes and bits of material that I have around together to find a cohesive narrative. How you collected that information is really going to dictate how easily you outline, how easy you get that outline down to page. Organization is a huge part of prepping for your outline. Yes, note-taking and information gathering and research is all there. You can do a lot of organization during that time, and I tend to, but if you're not organized, it's a good idea to make that the first step of your outline, is to stop and organize your information. Like I said, the more organized it is, the easier it is it's going to be to put together. As far as software goes, I really like Tomboy. If you're not familiar with Tomboy, it's a note-taking system that's on Linux, works very well in GNOME, but I've had it running in a couple of other window managers and desktop environments, and it works very well. I don't know if it's out when working properly for Windows yet, and I think you might be able to run it on Mac, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And the link for Tomboy will be in the show notes. But what I really like about it is it's got a nice hyperlinked style to it. So you create a note, and then you can create a link within that note that goes to another note. So it's very easy to start creating relational information from one piece to another. So you can lay out your basic idea and have character names. And then you link that character name to a character bio or character notes. And what happens is that it remembers that link in that page. So every time you create a new note and you start writing and you put that person's name in it, it automatically fills in the link for you, which is really nice. So you can kind of hit whatever information you need from wherever you need to. It's very easy to navigate, to find what you're looking for, and it's very easy to organize it into something that makes sense to you. Not necessarily what makes sense to me, not what I think is the best, but what makes sense to you and what's easiest for you to organize and work off of. I also have another piece of software that I use a lot, and this is custom software. The wonderfully, maturely named NoteScript 4000. This is something that I scripted up in Ruby. And this is, I'm going to have something on this in the future about learning a programming language, because if you do more on your computer than check your email, check a couple websites, you should really learn a programming language. Even if it's a simple scripting language like Ruby or Perl or Python that you can go through and get relatively quick effects from without having to delve too deeply into software programming, that's all you need. Something that you can hack together small helper applications to get a job done, because eventually, no matter what you download, no matter what you find, there's always going to be some tiny specialized function that you're looking for, that knowing a programming language and knowing how to hack together small programs, it's going to save you so much time, because you're not going to find these simple small helper applications. And if you are, chances are they're going to be over-specialized to the point where they're not useful for you, or over-generalized to the point where you're not getting the functionality you want out of it. But anyways, my NoteScript 4000, what it does is I've got an email account set aside. Since I've always got a BlackBerry with me, I can email any random notes that I have and put a tag in them. And then that program goes through, checks that mail server for new messages, brings it down to the computer, sorts it out, extracts the information from the tag, sets up everything so I've got a list of my available tags. I click on a tag, it gives me all those notes. So it's very easy if, say, I'm working on a horror script, which I happen to be right now. I'm collecting horror notes. I click on horror in the right-hand bar of my program, and it automatically brings up all the notes that are tagged with horror. This I won't have a link for because it's something that I've got set up at home. It's not the most secure, and it's not the best programmed application out there. But just so you understand what's possible when you start working with these scripting languages, if you're not already, it's something very good to learn. And again, I'll have a program in the future about learning a programming language and why it's useful. Once I've got all that information kind of organized, I try to put it into the few basic groups like I was saying before. Character notes, dialogue, settings, scenes, themes, all those kinds of things. And then I take whatever scenes I have and try and logically group them into segments. If I can take a single line and sum up multiple scenes, like bitches going down, and have that be an entire argument that starts in a house, goes outside, into a car, down the street, into a bar, and then it's somewhere else. If I can logically group that under bitches going down and I know what I'm talking about, that's what I try to do. I try and lump them into pieces so that when I get to it, I've got, you know, 40 or 50 pieces sitting there that have multiple scenes underneath them, but I can pick through them and kind of see what's going on. Now, any scenes that I try to tie together. The whole point is brevity. I want to be able to look at it at a glance. So that simple title with maybe a few sentences as to what's going on is enough to get me through. Once I've got that information, I take it and I write it down on index cards. In general, I'm only looking at about 50 different segments. I've got a nice big cork board. I can plug them all up on the board, and it gives me a visual idea at a glance what my story looks like. Another thing that I do to make that even easier is I take markers and I color code my cards. So I have an idea of this is a key action scene, or this is a key dramatic scene, or, you know, this is what's going on here. And this helped me in a lot of instances. Most recently, the script that I sent off to Praxis was a very dark superhero kind of story. And when I put all the cards up, because this is something that I'd been working on for years, and it always fell apart for me. I'd get 30, 40 pages in. This is before I found all the kind of little hints and ideas and the tricks and the practices that I use now. It kept falling apart at about 40 pages because I just wasn't getting my outline together. I wasn't figuring out how to make it work for me. And when I came back to this, one of the first things that I did was took all the notes that I had and started outlining. And then I color coded them. And what I found going through was there were consistent gaps in the middle. So I would have these huge dialogue scenes and these huge dramatic scenes that would go on for 15, 20 pages without an action segment. It's a fucking superhero movie. It's got to have action segments in it. And what was really bizarre was that all those action scenes were weighted right at the beginning or in the last half hour of the script. I was filling space in the middle of my screenplay with shit that was not only not helpful, but actually kind of detrimental. It dragged down the entire script, and in some cases didn't even make sense because I was filling space when I could be moving shit around. So I had to recontextualize some of these action scenes. That's, you know, any writing is rewriting. Anyone who's not a fucking savant is going to be able to tell you that. Anyone who's not a fucking genius is going to be able to tell you that writing is rewriting. Very few people sit down and churn out gold the second they sit in the chair. It just doesn't work that way. Nobody shits daisies, right? Having those index cards that you can visually look at and see how things are weighted and how the script is balanced or unbalanced is usually the case, helps you to organize things at a very high level before you start getting too focused on the details and the minutiae of the script. Editing 50 index cards, way fucking easier than editing a 120-page script on many levels. Once I've got those things down, I move into what I call the interrogation phase. I sit down and I read each card individually. So all my segments, I look at them individually. And I ask a couple questions about it. I ask, what am I missing? Are there characters that should be in this scene that aren't in it? Does it benefit from having additional characters in it? Am I using my location and my setting to its full potential? Or is it just set dressing? Is it just a place where these people are doing this? Can I move them anywhere and get the same impact out of the scene? Is there somewhere I can move them and get a better impact because I can use the location better? I can use the setting better. Am I hitting plot points? Am I hitting character points? After I'm done reading those segments individually, I start reading the segments in pairs. And it's the same process. I'm going through and I'm looking, am I missing anything? Can I add anything? Do these segments in pairs? So if I read the first segment and the second segment, do they work together? Okay, do two and three, do they work together? And another thing that I'm looking at in this is what's happening between those segments. Is there something happening here that's important that I could be adding to the story? Even if it's not important, do I know what's going on there? Because those things inform the story. The stuff that happens off screen is just as important as far as the reality that you're creating is concerned as everything that's happening on screen. It may not be part of the main narrative. It may not be something that's so important that you have to show your audience, but it does inform the universe that you're working within. From there, I've pretty much got my outline at a glance. I know what my story is. From there, I know what my story is. I know what my outline is going to be. I have a fairly good idea just by looking at it what it looks like. And that's when I move to the actual outline itself. I start working in point form. And the very basic version of this is to take the outline cards that I put on index cards and type them in verbatim. Title, dot, first line, dot, second line, dot, point form. Bullet points. It's easy. It's simple. Any program out there that does word processing will do the bullets for you automatically. And I just write it out as one big piece. Then I start to break it down into the individual scenes. So where I had them grouped into segments before, I start breaking them out into the individual slug lines. And I might fill in some character bits, some dialogue bits, maybe some descriptions, some themes, some stuff from my notes that didn't make it into those cards. This is why it's good to have those notes on the side, because when you're looking for dialogue, you read through all your little bits of dialogue and go, oh yeah, that would be great in this scene. Or this thematic bit, I haven't hit on this yet, but I want to, and I want to do it by this point. Is there somewhere where I can put this in where it's going to work? And you can add that in and make sure that it's explicit for you as the person going through and writing the screenplay where you want this and how you're going to do it. So I start filling in those things. And by the time I'm done that, that outline's about 6 to 10 pages long. And it's got quite a bit of information in there. It's got slug lines for the scenes that I'm doing. It's got some dialogue, some very specific dialogue. It's got some thematic notes. It's got some character notes. It's got some action notes. In some cases, I may have 80% of a scene going on at that point. Then I go back and I do that interrogation phase again. I read everything. I try to make sure that each individual scene, each slug line, has what it needs for that scene. That I'm not missing anything, that there's nothing that I should be adding, that there's nothing in there that shouldn't be. Because it can happen. You can add extraneous garbage in there, a character who doesn't add to the scene and in fact may actually drag it down. Or, you know, am I missing stuff in between those specific scenes? What's going on? Is there stuff that I'm aware of that I haven't put down on the page quite yet that I should be putting down at this point? And once I've got that, I just continue to expand on each scene. It's an iterative process going through and just expanding it further and expanding it further and fleshing it out, adding further action to the scenes, getting it closer to how a screenplay feels, but still working within that point format, the bullet point format. I just go over it, conversations instead of standalone bits of dialogue, the overall feel of the scene instead of the key points, add what's missing, remove what doesn't, rewrite the outline. In the past, doing this process, my outlines that I end up writing from have generally been between 35 and 60 pages. 60-page outline. It's insane. I've taken that 60-page outline and almost verbatim gone to a screenplay format because there wasn't as much white space in it, and as soon as it was translated over into a screenplay and polished up a bit, it ended up being a 9,500-page screenplay. It didn't take a whole lot to flesh it out to that point where it was where I expected it to be. Now, I don't say this in that I think outlining is for everyone. As I've said enough times in the past, everything on this show is a guideline. These are things that work for me. These are things that I like doing. And truth be told, I'm constantly refining my own processes. So for me to say this is the absolute best way to do it is horseshit, because it's not even necessarily the best way for me to do it, let alone for everyone else to do it. So I understand that this is not for everyone. And I've talked to people in the past that said the process of outlining removed their desire to tell the story. What pushed them to write is the desire to tell a specific story. And as soon as they start writing that outline, they've got enough down on paper that they feel like it's out of their system. And then going from the outline to an actual draft just pulls that drive right out of them. They have no desire to do it anymore. It's the process of singing the same old song for them. And I can understand that. I've had that happen myself. But me personally, I love outlining. It has helped my writing significantly. More than I can even possibly say. I've written more in the past 2 years than I did in the 12 or 13 years preceding that. And the outline is a big reason for that. Part of that has to do with focus and drive, but the outline has helped more than I could possibly state. I know even going through with an outline, I've hit that point that I honestly feel a lot of writers hit. Partway through the script and they've lost faith in what they're doing. It's stupid. Why am I doing this? Nobody's going to like this. Nobody's going to want to read this. This is shit. I need to move on to a good idea. And then I go through and I look at my outline and I realize, well, no, it's not shit. It's not garbage. If it was garbage, it wouldn't be on the page. And reading the page, I'm drawn in. I'm intrigued by what's going on here. And that helps pull me back into that process of slugging through the script. It's really one of those things that I wish somebody had stressed the importance of to me a decade ago. I knew about outlining and I knew it was possible. But I mean, if somebody had just stopped and taken the time and said, you know what, dude, if you do this, everything after it is going to be easier. And not only that, I've ripped out my share of first drafts just kind of off the cuff. And I've done my share of first drafts off of an outline. Stuff that I do off the cuff is hit or miss. And it usually takes me 2 or 3 edits to get it to a point where I'm kind of comfortable with it. Stuff that I do off of outline, I generally find is tighter, cleaner, and more intriguing after a first draft than the stuff that I've written off the cuff and had a chance to edit a little bit. So for me, an outline comes out like a polished second draft would for my other work. And it, like I said, it's easier to rewrite 50 index cards or 15 pages of outline or even 60 pages of outline than it is to rewrite 110, 120 page script. It's a force from the trees. You're too deep in it, you can't see it. The earlier you fix the problems, the easier it's going to be to make that script as tight as possible. Outlining gives you the opportunity to do that earlier. And that's what I got for outlining right now. I'm going to come back to note-taking and actually writing that first draft and all that other shit in the future. But I got to go back to the first episode, which is backing up your writing. And seriously, no bullshit right now. If you are not backing up your writing while you are listening to this podcast, stop. I don't care if you ever come back to this episode again. I don't care if you ever come back to Swillcast again. Stop what you are doing right now and figure out what you're doing for your backup solution. Whether you're using Dropbox or you're burning it to disks or whatever it is you're doing, stop right now, figure that shit out, and get it set up. I know that I did a whole show on this, but it bears repeating because I keep seeing threads over and over and over again about lost writing. It's frustrating. Especially when, you know, Celtics does have an odd behavior that crops up when you're trying to save and power loss happens. So if it's trying to save and you kick the cord out of your computer or the power goes out or something, you can lose what you're working on. It's possible to have a 0-byte Celtics file. It's gone. It's toast. It basically reset the file to save everything. At least my understanding of this is that it reset the file to save everything, went to go save it, lost power, didn't save anything. Is it a bug? You bet your fucking ass it is. Should it be fixed? Absolutely. I don't understand why Celtics resaves everything every time. If only one thing has changed, that should be able to be merged into the zip file. It shouldn't have to resave everything all the time. I was reading about a guy that had a 90 meg file, and every time he went to save, it was taking a full 15 seconds to do so. That's not entirely the most acceptable solution here. If it happens, if the program doesn't save, if you lose your work, is it your own fault for not being prepared for it? Abso-fucking-lutely it is. It's entirely your own fault. If you are a writer and writing is what you do, then you need to protect your writing. And I'm not talking about copyright bullshit and registering with the WGA. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about protecting your work to make sure that it doesn't disappear into nothing. Because losing that shit is the most discouraging thing on the face of the planet. At no point in time should one assume that hardware software is going to work as intended at all times for all times. The nature of hardware and software is that it is fallible. Extremely fallible. So, If it happens to you, I sympathize that you've lost your writing. And when I talk to people, I sympathize that they've lost their writing. But all I want to do is bitch slap them for not being prepared. If it happens, it is your own fault. There is no reason to rely on a single solution for everything. All it means is that a single point of failure means everything is lost. Now, if you haven't heard the first episode and you're still listening to this and you still haven't gone and figured out your backup solution, go back and listen to the first episode. Go install Dropbox, get dropbox.com. It'll be in the show notes. It's cross-platform, free, and made of pure awesome. Just go do it. Aside from that, show's been added to Podcast Alley. If you want to pop over and vote, leave a comment, you're welcome if you have the time / inclination. I don't know if I'd be bothered to do it, so I don't expect anyone else to do it. What I found over there is that there's a depressing amount of screenwriting podcasts that have died after a half dozen episodes or less, or podcasts that stopped broadcasting 2-3 years ago. It's really unfortunate. But I have found some good ones. And that said, one of the best ones that I found was Creative Screenwriting Magazine. And it is listed on Podcast Alley, but I'll have a list for it in the show notes as well. Give it a shot. It may not be your cup of tea. What I've found is that I really enjoy it because it's a Q&A with working screenwriters. So basically what they do is they screen a movie, which unfortunately, because it's a podcast, we don't get to see. But they'll screen a new movie in a full theater, and they'll have the writer / writers come up and do a Q&A after the movie is played, talking about making the movie, breaking into the business, what their break-in story was, what their process is like. And it's cool because it goes all over the place. They riff about all kinds of shit about writing. And it's just, for me, it's very informative and entertaining. I suggest giving it a shot. They are generally long. They're 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half in some cases, I believe. Give it a shot. Check it out. It's a very interesting show for me. Also, On the Page with Pilar, another very interesting one, talking to people about to break in the business or people who have been in the business for a while about screenwriting, and just very intriguing conversations. And I'll have both of those in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Swillcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 Canada license. If you want to know what that means, check out our website, swillcast.blogspot.com, swillcast.blogspot.com, and send us an email. Send us an email. I turn into the queen. Send me an email. Swillcast@gmail.com. It's going to be 2 weeks before the next episode comes out, as I'm in the middle of ramping up for a very short production, but I will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. See you then.